And there needs to be a seriousness put on the Word of God. I don't know about you, but how many of you have been to camp when you were young? You went to church camp. Not a lot of you. Wow. Well, when you go to camp, you're alone. There's no phones. There's no distractions. There's nothing. It's you and God. And I remember coming back from youth camp once. I remember sitting at the table, and I was one to want to talk on the phone all the time. My dad was like, get off the phone, get off the phone. I was always on the phone. And I remember sitting at the table, and I didn't know what to do. I was sitting at the coffee table, and I was so in love with God, and I was so passionate about what God wanted from me. And I was ready to go do everything he asked me to do at youth camp. And I remember my parents walking in and going, what are you doing? You're just sitting at the coffee table with no TV on, nothing. What are you doing? I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't want to watch TV. There's nothing good on there. And I don't want to listen to music anymore because it's not good music anymore. And everything of this world just seems so blah. And it's like, I just want to go to church. I couldn't get enough of church after I got off camp. And that's what I think God is calling us back to. The camp experience. But I think there's times and seasons for it. And listen, this world is coming down hard. But it doesn't mean that God isn't going to be bigger than what this world is giving us. And I believe that the desire and the heart and the call of God is for each and every one of us. I don't care how long you've been serving God, and I don't care how short you've been serving God. Each of us needs to hear this message, because there's always something in our heart that has to be changed. On a constant daily basis, things will be brought to your attention. Things, you will get hit with things. Can you lower these lights? I cannot. They're like too bright. It will be on you. It will be on you. Things will come at you. Someone will bug you. Something will irk you. Something will not go the way you want it to go. You have opportunities to sin. You have opportunities to just tell a little white lie. You have opportunities to not be the woman of God that he's asked you to be. And many times we fall into that. And then this is what is good. If you walk away from a situation like that and you go, oh, gosh, I'm so sorry, God. I'm so sorry I lost it. I should not have done that to that person. I should have said that to that person. Whatever the situation may be, that's good. Now, if you walk away from a situation, you go, that's right, that's how it should be, and that's how I told them where to go. Listen, something's up. Your heart is not soft enough towards the things of God. Your heart is hard to the ways of this world. And it's hard like the world. And God says, it's time to break down those walls, because I'm asking you to be a different woman for me. I never created you to be hard. I never created you to be ungodly. I never created you to do these things. I created you to be like me. I created you to love like me. I created you to long for what I long for. And you say, well, Pastor Jess, I've seen you get mad. I just got mad right now with Elijah before church. Yeah, I did. If you all know, I was upset. I wanted that song. And thank you, Elijah, you pulled it out. Because when there's something that the Holy Spirit needs, you may have to fight for it in your families. And you may not always be the nice guy in that. It doesn't mean you're sinning. You see, God says, be angry, but do not sin. And I really believe, women, if yours not a fight for you, for the things of God, you and your families will fail. Yes. If there is not a fight in you, not for the ways of this world, but for the things of God, your families will fail. And you say, gosh, Pastor. Listen, this is not flowers and pretty butterflies floating around us today. The grace message has been taught, and I love grace, but now the fear of God needs to come back in. Because so many times we take grace and we run with it, and then we go sin and do what we want to do and just say, oh, God will cover me. No, God is saying enough is enough. You know what you're doing. It is time to stop and repent and turn from your sin. And it starts with us, moms. It starts with us. Starts with us, grandmas. Starts with us. Starts with us, aunties. Starts with us. Don't expect the man to do it. They should. And they will. They got a mandate coming up. You think they're not going to talk about stuff like this? They will. But you do your part. And you be who you need to be. And God is calling us to a new place, girls. He is calling us to a new level. He is asking us to walk pure and holy. You say, what is walking pure and holy, Jess? Pastor, just, you know, the Ten Commandments, I got to follow the Ten Commandments. Listen, is it really that hard? It really isn't. Because when you start loving the things of God, you want to do what God wants you to do. You know, I have a son, and he's pretty amazing. You've heard me talk about him, Micah. He was my crazy child. And I say was, past tense, because I was consistent with him. I taught him the word, and I'm constantly on him like white on rice. Helping him walk through this thing called life and helping him manage that personality that God gave him, but yet use it for the King and for the glory of God. And one thing about Micah that I love about Micah is Micah knows right from wrong. And if you're doing it wrong, and if God says no, then I am not doing it. And I love that in his personality. I love that. Listen, girls, are you going to be like a 5-year-old who says, no, I'm not going there. No, our family will not go down that road. No, we will not compromise in that area. Or are you going to be like maybe some of the other children that haven't been taught and just want to be cool on the playground? Because this is what this is about. We are daughters of God. How are you acting? You trying to fit in with the crowd, with your mommy groups, or with whoever you're with? And yeah, it's okay for me to watch horror films. I'm sorry. There's too much. I need to get off Facebook because you guys make me mad. I'm serious. Because the things that you bring into your home, there are consequences for those things. And you think that you're just watching movies, and you think you're just listening to music, but there are spirits attached to those things. And there are things driving those things. And you are foolish to think that it doesn't affect you or your children or the people around you. It is time to draw a line in the sand, ladies. It is time to change our lives. And today is the call to change. Today is the call of holiness. Today is the call of no more patty caking Christianity. This is, I'm getting my butt in church when the doors are open. I'm making my kids get their butts in church when the doors are open. Mamas that have teenagers, let me just tell you something. It was never an option for me. Never an option for me to not come to church. You say, yeah, but your dad was a pastor. So what? I believe that if he wasn't, he would have never given me that option. If I lived in that house, under that roof, if I partied all night, I had to get my butt up on Sunday morning and I had to be in church and be convicted about what I did the night before. You got some adults living in your house, moms and dads. Pastor Jess used to be the young adults pastor, and I pastored them. They're not men, and they're not women. It is time for them to grow up. And it is time for mama to help them grow up and stop babying them. I don't know where I'm going with this, but you can't expect them to walk a pure and holy life if you're coddling them. They're not experiencing life. They're not having to do the hard knocks. They're not having to learn situations. They're not having to find God for themselves because you are covering it all. Enough. I am sorry, but this church is bold and in your face, and we've never apologized for the gospel. And I will not apologize for wimpiness. There is something on me. There is something God is requiring of us as women, to be women, to raise our children godly, to do what God has asked us to do. And we have compromised, and I have compromised, and I have seen people compromise. I am in counselings with you. And the things that I'm being told, I'm going, that could have been avoided. That could have been avoided. That could have been avoided. And it's not judgment. It's, were you not listening to the message and applying it to your life? Because we get up here week by week by week. We study. We get in the face of God. But it's not enough for me to do this for you. You need to do it for yourself. You need to go find God for yourself. You need to get into the face of God. You need to find out what he wants for you. Because we can do this, and we love preaching, and we love doing this for you. We love our jobs. But there is a heaviness on me that our city just filed bankruptcy. We are feeding more people out here than we've ever fed before. Not good. Not good. That means more people are hurting, more people are in need. We are losing jobs like crazy around here. There, 46%, you heard Pastor Deborah last week, 46% of San Bernardino County is on a public assistance. What if that was taken away? What would happen? You see, let me tell you what would happen. The local church is the house of God. The local church is the answer to all these problems. The local church is the one that can bring in and equip people to change the mind frame. Because God says, I've given it to you. I've given it to you, but you're not taking it. It's right in front of you, but you'd rather turn on that horrible show that you watch all the time instead of reading my word. It's right in front of you, but you go and listen to your rap crap, and then you don't turn on the worship and praise and worship and get it into your spirit. Enough! Change your homes. If that means you go home and you get a trash can and you go through your kids' rooms, you throw their crap out if it's ungodly. And let me tell you something, say, Pastor Jess, that is my kid's personal... Listen, my mama went through my stuff all the time. She said, you live in this house, I go through your letters. You live in this house, there ain't no privacy. You live under this roof. And let me tell you something, look at me. I went through a short period of time of hell, but I thank God my mama went through those letters. I thank God my mama made me get rid of my junk. I thank God my mom was on me like white on rice, because I am saved, and I know I'm going to heaven, and I'll be damned if my kids don't go to heaven with me. And listen, you better be too. And I am done with this compromised life that we live as Christians. I am done. No more compromise. What you compromise, and love what you said, what you compromise, you lose. What you compromise, you will lose. Some of you are thinking back and going, well, my kids aren't serving God and I didn't raise them godly. Now I'm godly, but you know, now it's too late. Listen, nothing's too late for God. Nothing's too late for God. You be the example now. From now on, you be the example to your grandbabies. You be the example to your children. You be the example to maybe that ex-husband that wasn't good to you. You still be the example of godliness. Enough. I'm sorry if I'm being so in your face, but I just can't stand it. God is just calling us back to holiness. Calling us back to holiness. If you cannot handle it, then I ask you to leave. Because this is how this is going to go. We will, at this church, serve God and serve God with all of our hearts. And we will, at this church, preach the word of God. And I will not compromise my messages according to what society tells me is proper and improper. I will not, as your pastor, compromise giving you godly advice when you want me to tell you something else and you get mad at me because I don't tell you what your ears, your itching ears, want to hear. God talks about that in the word, that their itching ears, they find for themselves leaders at the end days, that their itching ears, they've started these gay churches on the name of God. And their pastors are gay. And they use the word of God. And they call themselves Christians. Itching ears. Itching ears. Romans, read it for yourself. Talks about the end times, talks about what's going to happen, talks about where we're going. Guys, I was reading Romans and I was like, whoo, the fear of God. Because we are there. We are there. I'm not saying God's coming back. I'm not going to be one of those weirdo people. Nobody knows the day or the hour that God comes back. But we have to live like it is now. And I don't want to be caught up in going, oh no, my regrets. My regrets, my kids are not ready, they're not ready because I didn't teach them. Can you imagine the panic that would be in you? Oh, my grandkids, they don't know because I was too scared to say something. Oh, God. My mom, She just died. And I didn't tell her about God because I was so embarrassed. Enough. What do you have to lose? You have nothing but everything to gain. You need to serve God. And God is calling us. God is requesting us. He's requesting us some things. And we're going to talk about this today. Number one, I want you to write this down. He's requesting us to walk pure and holy. You say, Pastor Jess, that's kind of a hard request. I agree. It is a hard request. A very hard request. But he wouldn't ask those things of us if we couldn't do it. See, God doesn't give us things that we can't handle, right? That's what the word says. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 6:19. Actually, I'm going to go to 9. 1 Corinthians 9. Listen, I have so much stuff. We're just going to wing this today because God never landed with me on stuff, which is so odd for Pastor Jess because I'm a very organized, okay, I got my 3 points in my... No, that is not where he's going with me today. So let's just follow the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:9. We're going to start there. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators. Do you know what fornicators are? Sometimes the Bible uses some words we don't understand. Sex outside of marriage. Okay? Fornicators. Idolaters, serving other gods. Adulterers, people who cheat on their husbands and wives in marriage. Nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards. Not those that drink sometimes, but drunks. No rivals, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. As such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified. Do you know what the word sanctified means? You were set apart. You were set apart. You were growing in holiness is another definition for sanctification. Okay, sometimes the Bible uses some Christianese. You were set apart for the work of God. Maybe you were in here and you were some of these things. Hey, Pastor Jess was. I was like number one sinner. Hello. I screwed up, did it all, was a mess. But I was washed and I was set apart and I was sanctified. Okay? So thank God for that. Justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of God. I love that. I was justified by the name of God. Even though I had sinned, he justified me. And he said, no, I put my name on you now. You are cleansed. You are washed. He marked me. No longer am I my own, but I am now his. Otherwise, I can go back and live in the world the way that I used to. And I can go back to those things, those drugs and those the alcohol and the men. I can go back to that. But not when he marked me. Not when he said, nope, my stamp of approval's on her now. Now she's mine. What does that mean then, God? If I'm yours and you're mine, what are you requiring of me? Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 6:18. 6:16. We'll start at 16. 2 Corinthians. Not first, second. 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. You say, I don't even understand what a temple is. Listen, we're going to go a little simple here, but then we're going to go deep, okay? The temple of God is a place that a long time ago, they would go to, just like the church, and they would sacrifice, and they would praise God, and they would, you know, go there to be with God. They would sacrifice, they would pray, they would do everything there, just like the church, just like the house of God. And God is saying, no longer is that the way it has to be. No, yes, the local church is his plan and his body, but he now lives within us. They no longer had to go to the temple to find God. God now lives in us when we ask him to come into our heart and be the Lord and Savior of our life. So now he is saying to us, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That means you carry around me, and I have to live in you. That means we are one. We are two in one. I carry the Holy Spirit with me wherever I go. Have you ever done something? Maybe you're at the store and you were acting rude to the clerk or whatever the case may be. And you walk out and you go, ooh, that was probably not the way I should have handled that. That's the Holy Spirit inside of you going, hey, that was stinking embarrassing. Can you hold it together? Because that is not how I would act. You see, you are no longer your own. He's saying you carry me and I am in you. So stop acting like you're on your own. Because if I have to be with you, you better represent me good. And he's asking us to be pure and holy. Let's continue. Verse 16. And I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. Do not compromise what is unclean. You say, Pastor, just I don't even know what's unclean. I grew up like this my whole life, and now I'm saved, and now I'm like, what is unclean and what is not unclean? Totally understandable, and God gets it. He knows that. God is asking simple things of us. And he doesn't ask things of us just to be a jerk. Okay? Let's be honest. He's not asking it to just be like big old bad guy up in heaven. He's asking it of us to guard ourselves because there are consequences to everything that we'd walk into if it was sin. You have sex outside of marriage. What ends up happening? You get pregnant. Then the child doesn't have a dad. Or maybe it does. And then you know the situation. We are all a part of that. Right? That was never God's intention. God's intention was for two men and women to be married, to love each other, to have children and produce and multiply. And those children love each other and have children and produce and multiply. The enemy has come and robbed our society of that luxury. But as women of God, you say, all right, what do I tell my kids? Because this is our situation. You tell them, Mama had done it a different way, but God is going to do it a new way through you. You say to your daughters, listen, we're going to break this generational curse. I know my mom broke it over me. My mom got pregnant outside of marriage. She'll tell you this. With Miranda. Miranda got pregnant outside of marriage with Parker. We need to stop this generational curse. What did I do? I prayed over Chloe. I got pregnant outside of marriage. Did you all know that? Pastor Jess was so embarrassed to tell anybody, I went and had an abortion without anybody knowing at the age of 15. Yeah. Listen, that's not fun. I was a sinner. I've been to hell and back with some of the stupid things I've done. But God's grace washed me like he said. And he's washed you just like me. He is not a respecter of persons. But now I have a daughter. And you think the enemy's going to come and try and put that on her? Oh, heck no, she's not. She will serve God all the days of her life. She will fall in love and do it godly and do it right in the way God intended. And that is how this is going to be. And we will be praying over her, and I will be teaching her, and I will be equipping her. And listen, if for some reason she falls into sin, I'm not going to slam the hammer down on her and kick her out. But I'm going to walk in love, and we're going to walk her through this, and we're going to get her back in health and healing and whole and restored, just like you've been healthy, whole, and restored because you've come to this house. But enough is enough. God is saying, I need you to be pure and holy. Separate yourself. Set yourself aside to not touch what is unclean. I will be, verse 18, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. How many of you don't have dads? I want to see hands. Don't be ashamed. It's our society. Okay? Hands down. You think that's not the devil's plan? For you not to understand what a healthy relationship is with a father figure? Because how are you going to understand a relationship with our heavenly father, who is called father, if you have a hard time with your earthly father? You see, God is saying, I even now have to restore that back. Now he has to work a little harder to help you understand that there is unconditional love there with you and him. And that he saw you before you were in your mother's womb, and he doesn't care if you got a daddy or not because he is your daddy. Yes. And God says, I don't care what the enemy has taken from you, I am restoring that back to you. You see, God is saying, I have things aligned in a perfect way, and I'm asking you to be pure and holy, not outside of what society has handed you or what life has given you, but from this point on, choose to serve me, and I will restore those things back to you. I will love you like you've never been loved. You don't know the hug of a father. Well, guess what? He's wrapping his arms around you every time you get into praise and worship. Every time you come into this house, he's holding your hand and walking you through those bills, mama. He's holding your hand and he's walking you through those talks with those boys that you've got and you don't have a man in the house. God's with you. He's guiding you. He's filling your mouth. He's equipping you to do what he needs to do through you. But see, God is requiring something of you first. The answers he has. He is the answer to any problem you got. But he needs you to seek him and to be pure and holy with your life and to long for that and to be passionate about it. And if you weren't pure and holy, he says, fine, please come to me. There's nothing that's too much of a mess for me, God says. Nothing is too much of a mess for him. Hello, pastor's daughter, had an abortion, sex outside of marriage, all those things. You think I was a little ashamed? Yes. Totally embarrassed, but God, he walked me through that process. He walked me through having to forgive myself, having to forgive the people that hurt me and did me wrong, having to forgive all those things that were going on. You see, there are levels and steps to this healing process. But unless you sanctify yourself and set yourself apart for God, and unless you say, I'm going to now from now on live a pure and holy life, I'm going to now choose the ways of God. I am now going to set my face upon him, and I'm not turning to the right or to the left, but I'm staying focused. I'm going to serve him. When it's hard, I'm going to serve him. When it's easy, I'm going to serve him. When things come at me, I'm going to look to him and say, what now, God? Let's do this together. And that is what he's asking. He's asking us to set ourselves apart for the work of the ministry. A baptism of holiness, a demonstration of godly living, is the crying need of our day, is what Duncan Campbell said. Charles Spurgeon says, a holy life in itself a wonderful power and will make up for many deficiencies. That's what we've been talking about. So we have a mess. So our message is different than someone else's. Our testimony is different than someone else's. Well, thank God. Wouldn't it be really boring if we all had the same story? And God says, those are deficiencies of this world. But a holy life is a wonderful power. It is, in fact, the best sermon man can ever deliver. So you say, oh, I'm a mess, Pastor Jess. My kids are a mess. My home is a mess. We have allowed things in. We've allowed things to creep into our world. We've allowed complacency to take over our hearts. We've become common with the things of God. You say, oh, well, Pastor Jess, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't sleep outside of marriage. I'm really kind of not really that much of a sinner. Oh, really? Are you lethargic in the things of God lately? Is your spirit dead? Does it need an awakening? Do you need to stir yourself like you've never stirred yourself before? And not just for your kids, but for you? Not just for your husband, but for you? Not just for anybody else, but how about for God? Because he deserves that. Because he's a big God. So number one, he's asking us to walk pure and holy. Now, I could go through a million scriptures because there is a million scriptures on how to keep your temple clean. Listen, sex outside of marriage is sin. Let's just bluntly say it like this. It is. Whether you're old or young. We got a question last week. Is that only for young people? No. Heck no. Come on. You are a temple of God. Okay? He does not want to go having sex with somebody else that he ain't married to. Come on. He lives within you. Think about that for a second. He goes with you everywhere. Awkward. Be careful where you're at and what you're doing. All right? Think of it that way. Oh, yeah, that was awkward. Okay, so we're going to live pure and holy. Number two. Be aware of temptation. Listen, Don't be foolish and think, oh, I've conquered it. That was back in the day. I had this issue, and I'm good. I'm so good. Watch out. There's a verse in the Bible that says pride comes before the fall. All right? And the enemy is seeking whom he may devour. He's not just taking a bite off of you. He's devouring you. And if he can't work on you, one way, because you are on your game, you're in your word, you're in church, you're getting your spirit fed, you constantly are being buffeted by the enemy like this, and he's coming at you, but you're going, nope, in the name of Jesus, go away. In the name of Jesus, I'm not taking that. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to walk in love. In the name of Jesus, those bills are paid. And he is not able to get in any way possible. You let your guard down for 1 second, he's waiting. He's like that cat waiting to pounce that rope that's moving. And he's waiting, and he's waiting, and he's waiting. Ooh, she's tired. Ooh, she hasn't been praying for a couple days. I'm going to start a fight. I'm going to start a fight with her and her husband. And then I'm gonna mess around with her kids right now. Let's see how she reacts. Listen, he ain't no fool. He's been around for a really long time. He knows your facial expressions. He knows all of us and how we react and what happens. Now, he cannot know your thoughts, which is awesome. But he knows your mannerisms. He knows patterns of life. He has studied humanity for a very long time. And don't be foolish to think that he's not sitting and waiting and going, who am I going to take down next? He's so stupid, he tempted Jesus. Like, how dumb can you be? Really? Let's read about it. Matthew 4. I don't know about you, but I would not be thinking, I'm going to tempt Jesus. Let me offer him everything he already has. That's so dumb. Matthew 4, 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, have you ever thought about this for a second? The Spirit led him up to be tempted. Now, Pastor Dan's message, how Jesus sympathizes with us, how he experiences things that we've experienced, this was for him to experience temptation and then to teach us a lesson through it. So we had an example of what to do when the enemy comes and tempts us. He was being tempted. He was being led to be tempted. Let's see how he reacts. Verse 2. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, now I don't know about you, but 40 days and 40 nights of fasting is serious fasting. I can't go 3 days, okay? Pastor Jess gets really crabby. So I wonder if he was learning crabbiness too. I'm just joking, okay? So that's not biblical. Okay. Afterwards, he was hungry. Well, yeah, I would think so, after 40 days and 40 nights. Verse 3, now when the tempter came to him and he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Now, how cocky of the devil. Well, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to be bread. I feel like I'm on the third grade playground. See, some things are never not childish. They always are. And I love God's reaction. He said, Jesus' reaction in verse 4, he says, but he answered, it is written, it is written, it is written. Say it with me. It is written. Listen, this is your answers. This is your guide. This is what he says to follow. He himself is saying, I have to follow it. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Bam. All right. So the devil's like, fine. Move on to the next one. Verse 5. The devil took him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle on a temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. So now he's really pushing him. Like, if you say you're really God. And he said, in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So he's now quoting scripture back to God. Ah, that gives us a little insight on the enemy, right? He knows the word. He knows the word. Now, that could be to your benefit or to his benefit. You say, what? Because if you're not following what God wants you to do, and he throws some scripture at you that's not in context, not the way that God wants you to follow it, you're going to be foolish and think you're hearing from God, and you're not. But if you start using the word like Jesus did in this and go, please. Verse 7, Jesus responds to him, it is what?
Written.
You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Right there, he put himself back in his place. Listen, I'm God. Don't tempt. You're messing with me. Because what's the final product? The final product is he's going to be annihilated. He's going to be thrown into the pit of hell. So what was he thinking? He just has to get a jab in. Verse 8. Again, the devil looked up at him, an exceedingly high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. Right. Can you imagine Jesus worshiping the devil? Guy, he has a lot of nerve. Verse 10. Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is
written.
You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came to minister to him. He needed to be ministered after that. That was a spiritual battle. Listen, you are in a spiritual battle. Don't think that the devil's not coming after you. He is. I just read something. Somebody had sent me something in a church of 23 years of ministry. Just closed their doors. The marriage of the pastors failed. The body of Christ wouldn't tithe or give anymore. The church had to close their doors. Is that the plan of God? Is that what God wants? Listen, me and Pastor Dan, we got to keep it real. We have to be opener than an open book that was ever opened before in the whole life. We got to talk about everything and everything stupid and good and not good. Because we got to keep it real. We cannot allow for the enemy to come in and sever anything. My parents have always had to keep it very real. You say, you guys say too much from the pulpit. Maybe we do, but our marriages are still working and kicking and working well. And that's why. Because if I can speak it and bring light to it, then the darkness can't come and use it and tempt me with it later. I will not give the devil place. So if I get in a fight with my husband, I'm probably going to be like, hey, me and Pastor Dan are fighting today. You know? Because, listen, everyone does. But it's how you deal with it in the way and in the word of God. And that's what he's saying. It is written. I've given you tools. I need you to be holy. I need you to be aware that temptation is coming. Pastor Dan and I were talking about, turn to Matthew 6:13 real quick, and then we'll read it, about the prayer that God has asked us to pray, the model prayer. And we were talking about prayer one day. And he was telling me, he's like, I pray that prayer every morning in the shower. I didn't know he did. And I'm like, really? You pray that prayer every morning in the shower? Like, I pray all the time, but I don't, like, pray that, like, specific prayer. And he's like, yeah, I totally do, because if you pray the prayer, it covers everything that you will need in your life. Let's read it. Our Father in heaven, and if you know it, you can read it with me. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into, but deliver us from evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It says in the word that you read this every day. And every day, what are we praying? But deliver us from the evil one. Do not lead us into temptation. Because the enemy every day is going to come and tempt you. He's going to get your kids. He's going to tempt you. He's going to tempt your husband. So be on your game is what God is saying. Be on your game. Put your shield of faith up. Get your sword out. Put on your helmet of salvation. Get ready to kick some devil butt because he's coming. And he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But you have to be pure and holy, sanctified and set apart, ready to go every day. You say, Pastor, just every day I am tired. It is that time of the month, and I just don't feel like getting all pumped up and ready to go. Listen, girls, I get it. But that's when you rip yourself out of bed and say, I'm reading my word right now because this is what I have to have in order for me to get out of bed today. You say, I'm going to pray in the spirit while I do my hair. It's simple little things that will just rejuvenate you and get you going and just kind of give your little spirit a little pep in your step. Come on, guys, you can't let your guard down because the tempter's coming and he's going to get you. And he's going to get you and he's going to take you down. And he doesn't bite a little piece off. He takes the whole thing. So God is saying, be careful. He's out there. 2 Peter 2:9-10, I'll just read it to you. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He knows how to deliver us. Isn't that good news? He's not going to leave us there. And to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Ooh, he brings it all the way to the end. All the way to the end. You see, you may be tempted, but it's one thing if you fall into temptation to catch yourself and go, no. No. I'm sorry, God. I am so sorry. I am not going there again. I am changing my ways. And get out of it. Run from the tempter. He's saying he gives us that path. And then he leaves that judgment for the unrighteous. Verse 10, especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise authority. Does that sound like our world or what? They despise authority. I don't know about you, but so many kids are now unpunished that I see them in stores and I'm like, oh my gosh, my mama would have never let me do that. You know, like, you crazy, like my mom would be like, bam, you know. But now there's no punishment. There's no boundaries in this next generation. There's no lines drawn in the sand. There's no place for them to know that they can't go there, so they go there. CPS, yeah, I'm not saying spank or beat your children. But I'm saying there are godly principles for it, and it actually falls under the rules of our law. Did you know that? Yeah, so if you want to know that information, go to the parenting class in the archives. I did teach about it, and I did read the law, okay? But it's not cool. It's not cool. Listen, I don't care if I'm cool or not. My pants are too short for my shoes today. I know. I mean, come on. Who cares? What I do care about is that I got a big God. And I got a big responsibility, and I've got to keep this pure, and I got to keep this holy, and I got to be on my guard day and mostly at night for me, girls. I don't know about you, but how many of you have woken up in the middle of the night? Yeah. I am. And there is a spirit that always tries to come at me, and it's one that I've had ever since a child. And I've casted it out, told to go back to hell. But every once in a while, I'll try and come back just to see if it could get in. And I'm like, spirit of fear. You go back to hell where I told you to go. And listen, take your authority. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. They're afraid of you. Use the word like God did. The devil knows the word, but let me say, he shudders at the word too. He shudders at it because it scares the junk out of him. Okay? All right. Well, let's just move on. It was so good. I just love this. But let me read this one last quote by Charles Spurgeon. It is true. I may be an apparent loser by declining evil company, but I had better leave my cloak than lose my character. It is not needful that I should be rich, but it is imperative upon me to be pure. No ties of friendship, no chains of beauty, no flashings of talent, no shafts of ridicule must turn me from the wise resolve or flee from sin. The devil I am to resist, and he will flee from me. But the lust of flesh I must flee, or they will surely overcome me. May the horrible trinity of this world, flesh, devil, and the world, never overcome us. It's Charles Spurgeon. Pretty good. That means, guys, your life may have to change a little bit. The company you keep, you say, but that's family. Well, listen, I have family that doesn't serve God, and they don't get to be around me too much. We don't really have anything in common. I take my stand, they take theirs. I love them, but I'm not going to be a part of what they're doing. And I'm not going to okay how they live. All right? So there are lines drawn that God is saying enough is enough. And don't be foolish to think that if you hang out with that, you won't be tempted in those areas later on down the road, or your children. Be careful who you hang around. Point three. A true heart of repentance is what God is requiring of us. You say, well, I said sorry. Listen, can I give you a little example of a sorry? When someone does something to you, first of all, they should never have to ask you for an apology. That's just, for me, a pet peeve. So please don't do that to me ever. Second, if you have done something wrong to someone, you need to say, I am really sorry. I am really sorry. I was wrong. And even if maybe you weren't wrong, but you're trying to make it smooth and you're trying to be the bigger person, you are the daughter of God. Maybe that needs to be you. I've done it a million times and it works. Apologize from your heart. Don't allow pride to get in the way. Be approachable to people. But when we do something wrong and we're like, oh, God will forgive me, the grace of God will cover me. I almost go, ooh. Are you sure about that? Because yes, God's grace covers you. But if you purposely do it, that's not true repentance. And God is calling us back to true repentance. King David, you remember we talked about King David, and Pastor Sue actually talked about the woman he cheated with. Remember that a few weeks ago? What was her name again? Bathsheba. How can I forget that? Bathsheba. She was in the bath. She should have not been in the bath. Bathsheba. And David, being a man, was what? Tempted. And he saw her. And here he is, a man of God, right? And he saw her and he fell into her beauty. Ooh, her beauty. I want to see what she looked like. One day in heaven, I will get to meet Bathsheba. And he fell into sin. Then he had to murder and do all of this. Look it up for yourselves. It's a very long story, and it's a horrible story. It makes me want to cry every time I read it because I feel so bad for her husband that was killed, and I feel so bad for her too because, yes, she was in the bath and all that, but how would you feel if you were just really, he's a king. You can't tell him no. So your world just changed really fast. That had to have affected her. And here she is. Life is falling apart. And David gets called out on it. Now listen, if you think you're getting away with something, sin has its pleasure for a season. So party it up, go crazy with your sin, but God's coming after you and you're going to be called out on it. Every time God would call me out on it. And let me just tell you a little story. One time I went clubbing in my parents' house on a Saturday night. And I will never forget, were we together? Oh, yeah, we're probably together. Anyways, I went to Club Metro, okay? Like, I don't even know if that's even around. But it's not. How do you know it's not? Anyways, we went clubbing, and I remember thinking, oh, Dad didn't hear the door open because my brother greased the door so my dad couldn't hear it open anymore. Yeah. But Luke wasn't doing it on purpose. He really just liked fixing things around the house. So he didn't know that that's how Dad knew I would come home late. So I remember I came home and I got in bed and I was like, woohoo, got away with that. I just totally remember thinking I got away with it. And I'll never forget going to the refrigerator that morning and putting my cup in the, they're in the kitchen cooking as they always do. And I put my cup in the thing and all I remember seeing is the cup right now still. And my dad goes, so, did you have fun last night? And I was thinking to myself, yeah, totally had fun. Thinking he didn't know what I was doing. He's like, the next time you want to go to a club, you can move out. You don't live in this house and go clubbing. Now get ready for church. We are going to church. And you better repent before God. And I was like, God, I was a designated driver. And I didn't do anything. And I was like freaking out. And then I'm thinking, who saw me? Who saw me there? And they called him, you know. And you know what it was? He told me later, he said, the Holy Spirit always told me where you were. He always told on you. He always, Lupe, has God told you everything about your kids? I know he has. And now I'm starting to get it with my kids, and I'm like, ooh. And my kids are like, how did you know that? And I'm like, I don't know. The Holy Spirit told me. And I'm kind of shocked myself, like, wow, that was so cool. So But listen, your sins will find you out. He only lets it last for a season. So he's calling true repentance. Now there's a difference between getting caught and repenting. Many times people get caught in their sin. And I believe that's God's way of giving you a chance to stop and turn. A lot of times they don't. Because they don't have, their heart isn't in the right place. They don't want to get things right. They'll appease you for a while to get you, oh yeah, I'm good, okay, I've repented on it, I'm sorry. But then they go back to their sin. That's got to be the most frustrating thing. Can I get an amen from anybody? Probably as a parent, that's so frustrating. But listen, true repentance comes from a broken and a contrite spirit. That means you are broken before God. And David, when he got called out on it, he actually had a broken and contrite spirit. We're going to read about it in Psalms 38. Psalms 38. I love getting into the Word. We've gotten a lot of Word today, huh? We can learn from David. It's a good way to check ourselves when we're repenting on something. Because if we're not really sorry, you'll know. If you're just doing it just to do it with a contrite and a broken spirit, and God will hear you. He will hear your cry. Psalm 38 says, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. For your arrows pierce me deeply, and your hand presses me down. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. I am troubled and I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all day long, for my loins are full of inflammation. There is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. Lord, all my desire before you and my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pants. My strength fails me, for the light of my eyes is also gone from me. My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from me like a plague, and relatives stand afar off. Those also who seek my life lay snares for me. Those who seek my hurt speak of destruction and plan deception all the day long. But I am like a deaf man, do not hear. I, like a mute, do not open my mouth. Thus I am the man who does not hear and whose mouth is no response. For in you, O Lord, I hope you will hear. O God, my God, I said, hear me, lest you rejoice over me, lest when the foot slips, exalt thyself against me. For I am ready to fall, and my sorrow continually before me. For I will declare iniquity, and I will be in anguish over my sin. But my enemies are vigorous, and they are strong, and those who hate me wrongfully and multiply, those who are rendered evil for good, and they are the adversaries, because I follow what is good. Do not forsake me, O Lord, my God. Do not be far from me. Make haste and help me, O Lord, my salvation. That is true repentance. That is, I am a mess. God, I remember when I came back to the Lord after everything that I had done and all the sinning I had done and all the things that I had laid out for myself, that I had put my own self in. I remember being in church and talking to the Lord and just being that broken. I remember, God, I'm just so unworthy. I'm just so unworthy of your goodness, of your holiness, of who you are. I am so sorry that I have sinned against myself and against you, what you've given me and all the plans that you've had for me. I've gone off course and I need to get myself back in. And I was so broken before the Lord. I remember weeping for days. I remember weeping for days because I felt so bad. And then the Lord began to heal me. And I believe that in that brokenness, in that true moment of repentance, in that broken and contrite spirit that I had for those things that I went against God with, that God was able to then go, perfect, broken pieces that I can now put back together and get rid of the ones that have been tainted and replace them with what is pure and holy. You see, you can't lead a life of pure and holiness if there's sin. They don't go hand in hand. So God is saying, yes, I'm asking you to be pure and holy. Yes, I'm asking you to be aware that the tempter is coming. But before all of that happens, you have to be repentant before me. You have to be willing to open your heart and lay yourself out You have to be willing to be vulnerable. You have to be willing to be honest. You have to be willing to be broken. You know, a lot of times I think men especially, but I know women, we're tough. A lot of things have happened. We just get tougher and tougher every time something happens, right? We just put another one on our back. Let's go. Come on, let's do it. We could do this. We're women. We can do anything. We can. But God is saying, listen, this is not about you taking on the next thing and you getting tougher and tougher and you getting harder and harder. I never required you to do that. What I have required you to do is to lay it down at my feet. Let it go. Take that burden off and put it down. Take that offense off and put it down. Take that hurt off and put it down. A failed marriage, God says, put it down at my altar. Children that are lost and not serving God, God says, lay them at my altar. Sickness, bad reports. God says, not too big for me. Quit trying to carry it. Lay it down at my altar. He's got you. Pastor Dan said this weekend, he knows your number. But he needs you to repent. He needs you to repent. So I'm going to take a little side note from this message, and I'm going to talk to you today. You came in here thinking, Pastor Jess, I'm good. I'm at church after all. Listen, somebody walked by me at the back door once and said, you know, there's people here that have the devil. Yeah. Do you know there's sinners here? Yeah, I hope so. This is where we need to be. Because he's the one that cleanses us and washes us and makes us whole. But he's looking for a broken and a contrite spirit. So if you walked in here today and you said, Pastor Jess, I don't know where I'm at with God. Guy, after your message, I think I'm a mess. Well, good. That's a good place to be in. Because he's here to fix the mess. If you're feeling burdened, like you can't carry life on your own, you've been doing it on your own for too long, he says, I'm here. I'm the one that will uphold your arms. I'm the one that will carry you through and walk you through every step of this thing I've given you called life. But you've been doing it on your own. You've been doing it on your own, daughter, and enough's enough. Start changing who you are. And I know that God wants the best of us. Because we require nothing but the best of him, right? When we go to God, what do? You pretty much ask him for stuff, don't you? Well, he's asking you for some stuff today. He's asking you to let go of you. If you walked into this room today and you say, I don't even know who God is. I have never in my life met him. Somebody brought me today, or I've been coming to church, but I've never raised my hand and asked God to come into my heart. God says, listen, you need me and I need you. But he's a gentleman. He's not going to weasel his way into your heart. He gives us a free will choice to invite him in. And you say, I've never met him. I don't know. I want this God you're talking about. I want this life you're talking about. I need the power behind what it is I've been fighting for so long in my world. Listen. He says, well, all you have to do is receive me. Ask him to come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life. And the Holy Spirit will fill you and you will be made whole and clean and washed. You repent from your sin is what he's asking. That means he's asking you to turn away from what is ungodly and turn to him who is godly, who is God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You say, well, one time I did that, but I really haven't been living this godly life, Pastor Jess. I've been kind of doing more of my own thing instead of God's thing. Well, then I'm talking to you right now. He is asking for repentance today. He is asking for a new life, a new goal, a new walk, a new foundation for your family. But it starts with you. So if maybe you've served God at one time and now you're not, he's talking to you right now. You say, well, I kind of think that I'm saved. I mean, I hope my parents said that, you know, we're Christians. We live in America. We drive a Ford. We eat apple pie. We go to baseball games. You know, we're America. No, listen, America is no longer a Christian country as far as I'm concerned. I know it was founded on the things of God, but they are pushing God right out of America. And you are not saved because you're born here. The only way you're getting to heaven is if you ask God to come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life. Not because your mama and daddy did, but because you did. He wants a one-on-one relationship with you. This is not you get in by who you're related to. So this is how this is going to work. If you've been running from God instead of to God, I'm talking to you. If you know that you need to meet this God and you want to ask him to come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life, I'm talking to you. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3. I'm going to clap my hands like that and you're going to raise your hand. You say, oh no, you want me to do it in front of everybody? Yes, I do. You know why? Because he died on that cross for you in front of everyone. Jesus went to the cross and he died for your sin so that today, when you ask him to come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life, that all those sins are washed away, that you are a new creation. You may not feel it right away, but you will start to begin to see God's presence flow through you in your life. But he asked and requires that of you, and I'm asking that you be bold for him, that if you went to hell, you would be seeing those burning flames and you would be raising your underwear on a flagpole going, get me out of here! Get me out of here! You can raise your hand for God one time, because listen, this is not a room you need to be embarrassed in. Every single one of us has asked God to come into our heart, and we are excited for people to know who he is. So this is what we're going to do. If you've been running from God instead of to God, I'm talking to you. If you've never met him before, I'm talking to you. If you've thought maybe you're a Christian, but you're not quite sure, you need to make sure today, make sure today. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Not clapping. Don't clap. Don't scare my fish away. 4. Anybody else? I see those hands. 5. Go ahead and put them down. Go ahead and put it down. Anybody else? He's calling repentance today. All right, 5. What we're going to do is we're going to pray together. You don't get saved by just raising your hand. You get saved by asking Jesus to come into your heart. So what we're going to do is I'm going to pray. I want you to repeat after me, and everyone in the room is going to repeat after you. Okay? So we will all do this with you. You're not alone. But this is a new beginning. And he listens to your heart. So it's not about the words that you're saying, but it's about the heart. Okay? God is listening to you. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes and repeat after me. Dear Father God, I love you. Dear Father God, I come before you today, broken. And God, I am sorry for my life, for the sins, for the ways of the world. And God, I ask that you would save me. And Lord, I ask that you would come now and fill my heart and be the Lord and Savior of my life. Live within me, and I live with you. Today is the day that I am saved, that I am sold out, that I'm in love with you, that I have a new beginning, that I have a new future. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I don't know if Elijah's here. Can we get Elijah in here? Because now we're going to do this last point of this message. God said, when we repent, now I'm going to give you moments to repent on your own. I'm not going to sit here, let's, 101, what's your problem? No, this is between you and God. I don't want to know, believe me, I hear it enough. Seriously. Really, this is between you and God. He's asking you and calling us to be pure and holy. And every single one of us, whether it be on a level of gossip, whether it be on a level of judgment of other people, whether it be on a level of complacency in our walk with the Lord, whether it be on a level of just being common in the things of God and not really taking him seriously in our world and in our families, allowing the ways of this world to come in more in our homes than the ways of God, we need to repent. We need to repent. And when I say we, I have been repenting all week. It's probably why I've been crying all week. So Pastor Jess is not asking anything of you that I haven't done already myself. And constantly continuing doing. And don't be foolish to think that you're so wise in the faith that you don't have to. because we are human and we constantly are being tempted and we constantly are failing. But God is asking and requiring of us to always keep our hearts open before what it is he needs us to do. Let's say you have judgment in your heart towards someone and you haven't seen their salvation and you're getting anger and you're getting bitter about it. Well, maybe it's because your heart towards them has been judgment and not love. You're not really showing the heart of God. You see, he's the one that judges, not you. No man can judge the heart except for God. So if you've been judgmental, you need to repent. If you've been a gossip, you need to repent. If you're talking about someone and they're not there and they don't know what you're saying those things about them, you're gossiping. Tasty morsels is what the Bible calls it. Get rid of those tasty morsels out of your mouth. Ask for the Lord to guard your mouth and repent before him. If you haven't been tithing, that's a sin. He asks that of us. He requires that of us. It's the least we can do for him. You wonder why you don't have financial blessing. You wonder why things aren't working out. Your heart isn't open and grateful and ready to give, even if it's a penny, girls. It's not about the amount. It's about the heart. Repent and get in faith about it. Say, I'm going to do it, God, whether I like it or not, whether I understand it or not. I'm going to do it, and whether I give, God, that it be a blessing. That wherever it goes, it multiplies. And God, that you multiply my family. You see, it's a faith thing. This is not about you. This is about God. The benefit is when we do these things for God, do it the way he requires it of us, we get blessed. It's actually a win-win. Maybe there's been some things you've allowed your children and yourself to watch in your home. Ungodly. Demonic. We got Halloween coming up and all these movies. I can't even watch TV with my kids around because it is like, I feel like demons are coming out of the TV when just a commercial swings by. Don't be foolish and think that there aren't spirits attached to that stuff. And that they're not trying to attach to you and your children. And if your kids are having bad dreams at night, I wonder why. What are you listening to? Are you listening to Christian music? Let me just tell you something. I always said that excuse of, oh, well, you know, Christian music isn't good. And Christian music, there's nothing out there for me. That is not true. There are actually better musicians, would you say, Elijah, than the world. And I have found awesome all genres of music. That people that love God and that are speaking life and not death. Maybe it's time for us to cleanse that. I had a question last week about why does the church allow secular music at our events? Well, this last event, I was mortified, just so you know. Pastors were mortified because we used a different DJ and he did play Madonna and I almost like came out of my rocker. I almost ran over there and ripped it right out of his hand. I was so mad. That is not okay with us. Pastor Dan wanted me to cover that. That will not happen again. Okay? But sometimes we do use like cute songs for a dance or something, but we make sure that it's inspirational and that it's not ungodly or you know, offensive. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about some of this stuff that you listen to that, do you really know what the words are saying? Cussing and talking about treating women bad or sexual acts, or you think your kids aren't hearing that and it's not getting into their spirit? It is. Then you wonder why. Well, why are my kids going astray? Well, I'll tell you why. You're allowing things in their world that they don't know how to combat. They're too young. So they just take it as, oh, well, that's the way it is. Because mom and dad, who they respect and love, are doing it. You need to repent. You need to get that right in your home. You need to start putting God, replacing the bad and putting the God in. Okay? Go to the bookstore. Buy some good Christian music today. If you're reading books like, what is that, 53, what is it? Shades of Gray. What are you feeding yourself? It is so pornographic, that novel, that did you know the state of Florida won't even put it in their library? But yet I hear people on Facebook going, such a great book, Christians that go to this church. Such a great book. You should read it. Can't wait to read it. No, you should not read it. And you better not put that in your home. You better not. You want to read a love novel? Go get Redeeming Love by Francine Rivers. Go find something that a godly person has wrote. Because yes, God created marriage and sex and everything else. And you can talk about it, but in a godly way. Not in a dirty, nasty, pornographic way. What if your kids got a hold of that book? Pastor Jess is pointing some things out. And the reason why I am is because we can act like we've got it together, or we can just be real and say, I don't have it together. I thought I did, but there are some things that are going on in my heart that I need to change. And this is going to be our time to do that. I want the lights down, Pastor Sue. And Elijah, could you sing that song? And I want us to get alone. Now, I know the tables are closed, so if you need to, come to the side over here and just get with God. Get on your knees before the Lord. And I want you to have a heart. I'm giving you an opportunity. I'm setting a platform for you right now to be with God. And to say, here I am, God. And just like David poured his heart out in true repentance, ask God to break your heart for what needs to be broken. Maybe you're going, I don't know if there's something inside of me. Ask him to reveal that to you. So many times during praise and worship, I ask God to reveal things to me, and he does, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I forgot I said that. Oh my goodness, I forgot that I did that. I'm so sorry, God. And he will bring it up, and it's good. So what we're going to do is we're just going to have this moment with God, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to praise God. Because the last point is you praise him after repentance, because now you're free. And then you get to just be with him and love on him and be in his presence and bask in his goodness. So first, I want us to just have that attitude of repentance.